today on Living on Every Word.
What God wants us to know: where do I belong? Who do I belong to? Who's going to save me from this? Why this trial? Why this season? Why this heartache? God, what do you want me to know?
Every one of us has at some point in our lives wrestled with questions like these. Where do I belong? Why am I going through this? Does anyone really care? Today, Pastor Mike Fritcher answers questions like these in today's message, What God Wants Us to Know.
Living on Every Word.
If you have your Bibles, turn to Isaiah chapter 43. Isaiah 43. I had been meditating on some things all week to bring to you, and I woke Friday night, sometime during the night, I woke up, and just the thought of Isaiah 43 came to my mind. And, you know, it was one of those times that you just, you know, you go back to sleep, and I went back to sleep, and then I woke up in the morning for good, and I just heard it. I heard it in my heart, heard it in my spirit, just Isaiah 43. And so yesterday morning I got up and just began to look at that passage, and you know, I'm so grateful for Scripture. I'm so grateful that it is the Word of God that is inspired, and it's profitable for training and correction and teaching, that we might be adequate for every good work. I'm grateful because the Word washes and sanctifies. The Word comes to us, the Scripture, the Bible, and it shows us who Jesus is, and it shows us who God is. And it gives us the things that we need to know. And I look at every page in it, and I see Christ in it, and I see God in it, and I see knowledge, and I see the things that God has chosen to speak to his people and to show us. And so that I can open up any word in any scripture and be ready for God to speak to me. This word is powerful. It is powerful in our lives when we grasp it and when we believe it and when we live on it. It is powerful to transform us. And we have a very high view of Scripture. When you turn to a passage like a Psalm 19 that says that God's Word enlightens the eyes. It just enlightens us. It makes us wise. Matter of fact, it says it like this. It says it makes wise the simple, you know, simple like me. It makes us wise, the Scripture says. I look at it and it says it rejoices the heart. It restores the soul, that it's better than food. It's better than honey. It's better than gold. It's better than money. That when God speaks to us and reveals to us the things that he wants us to know about us and about him and what he intends to do and what he will do in our lives. And I'm amazed because Jesus even said it. He said it to the enemy when being tempted. A man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. You can live on bread, and you can live on it with bread and butter. But there's nothing like living spiritually on the Word of God. It is your nourishment. It is the revelation of our great God. And when I look at Isaiah 43, I look at this passage of Scripture pretty much no different than any other passage of Scripture. These are things I need to know. These are things that I want to understand. These are the things that I want to see. I want to see God do when he's promising so many things in Scripture. What I find so amazing about it is that this word was written just over a span of a thousand years. And you know, it's still relevant for us today. It's not some archaic book. It's a scripture of our living God that says, this is my record of who I am. And there's power when I hear it. And there's power when I respond to it. And it's power when I speak it. And it's power when I live on it. And so when I look at this passage of Scripture, I just entitled it, just What God Wants You to Know. what God wants you to believe, what He wants you to understand. And I think if I can look at Scripture and open Scripture up and open the Bible up and ask that question, God, what do you want me to know? Or what do you want me to do? Or how do you want to speak to me today? Or is there a word for me that's for me this morning and for someone else during the day? What God wants us to know. Look at a couple of verses with me. Isaiah 43, verse 1. But now thus says the Lord your Creator, O Jacob, He who formed you, O Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name, and you are mine. You know what you need to know today? You know what I need to know? That we belong to God. You are His. Write it down. I belong to God. I belong to Him. You know, when I come to understand that, it changes everything. I don't belong to myself. I don't belong to my job. I don't belong to money. I don't belong to the enemy. I belong to God. Yeah, that's simple. Yeah, I know that. But do you live like you are a possession of the King? Does that what comes out of your life, does that what people see? Oh, gosh, he belongs to God. He doesn't belong to the world. He doesn't belong to the job. He doesn't belong to the boss. He belongs to God. She belongs to God. They belong to Him. Notice a couple of things about this first verse of Scripture that we look at. He says this, He who formed you, He created you. Do not fear. First of all, I've redeemed you. I've called you by name. You are mine. I've redeemed you. I've named you. You belong to me. This word redeemed is a pretty important word. It means to ransom. It means to purchase back. It means to liberate or to rescue from captivity or bondage or from any obligation or liability. So that you don't have to suffer or to even forfeit anything. And you know, when you were rescued by God, it was this thought that He purchased us back. When we fell, we became under the control. We came under the control of the enemy. We came under the control of something other. Salvation is a redemption. And Jesus paid for the redemption on the cross by His blood. Keep your place here and go to 1 Peter chapter 1, if you would. 1 Peter chapter 1, love this concept. It's a purchase price. You know, you see it through Scripture. You see it in Hosea, where Hosea marries a prostitute by the command of God, and she remains unfaithful to him for a number of years. And the Scripture speaks of how Hosea comes through town one day and she's on the sale block being sold into slavery. And he passes by and the Scripture says he has compassion on his wife. And so what does he do? He redeems her. He purchases her back. And she says, you will be mine. He said, the Scripture says, you'll be mine from now on. Nobody else's. And it's a very picture of our great God and Savior and what He did for you and for me. When we were walking our own walk, when we were living our own way, when we were walking in rebellion, when we were led by the prince of the power of this darkness of this world, that He redeemed us. And He says it like this, or Peter says it like this, as obedient children, do not be conformed to the former lusts which were yours in ignorance, but like the Holy One who called you, be holy yourselves in all your behavior, because it's written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. And if you address as Father the one who impartially judges according to each man's work or each one's work, conduct yourselves in fear during the time of your stay on earth, knowing that you were not redeemed with perishable things like silver or gold. And look what he redeemed. We were redeemed from your futile way of life, which you inherited from your forefathers. But you were redeemed with the precious blood as of a lamb, unblemished and spotless, the blood of Christ. You were redeemed by the blood. That was the purchase price. the sail block, enslaved, taken away, captured, so to speak. And God came through and said, oh, I'm buying him back. I'm buying her back. I'm taking her back. I redeem you by the blood of the Lamb. And then he calls us by name. He redeems us, he calls us by name. He knows your name. Very important. There's something innate in us that wants to be known. And God comes along and meets that need. He meets that need of a desire to be known, because ultimately our desire points to being known by him. By him. God knows you. He knows your name. He calls you by name. And he says something very significant. You are mine. Let me ask the question. Does that define you today? Does it define you in your job? Does it define you in your marriage? Does it define you in the way you spend your money? In the way that you give? Does what you do in this life define who you belong to? Because guess what? It does. It does. What I do in this life defines the most important things in my life. And when I get this definition of my life, that I belong to God, it's not like God is some great killjoy wanting to put his thumb on me. No, he's wanting to release me. He's wanting to release the joy, release the life. He's that kind of dad. He's that kind of father. And when I look at this whole thought of being God's, having God in my life, having God in Christ in my heart, it'll answer a question that I have. And the question is where do I belong? You ever been asked that? Have you ever asked that question? Where do I belong? What's my part in this thing? What is my part in this life? And oftentimes we move from thing to thing, stuff to stuff, life to life, job to job, church to church. And if I can answer this question and believe it and live according to it, it answers all the others for me. We belong to God. You are mine. We need to hear that today. We need to hear that today. We need to hear that in the morning. When the things are going on in our life and we're stressed out and we're stressed in the job, or there's some things just coming down upon us, I belong to him. He's redeemed me. He's called me by name. I belong to him. I belong to him. You know, I praise God that as a little boy, I knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that I belonged to my mom and dad. I knew it. There was safety with them. There was provision with them. There was touch with them. There was affirmation with them. And no doubt about it, I belong to them. I praise God for that kind of influence. And I want to ask you parents today, your children have that kind of thought. They know that they belong to you. Because that points to the great God who says, you're mine. You are mine. And then you look at Scripture different now. You look at Scripture and says, oh, that's what that means when it says, he chose me before the foundation of the world. Chose to have me. I belong to him. And we look at Scripture and we look at life through those eyes, through that very, very fact that you are God's. Or to hear God say, you are mine. Let that define you. Let that define you today. Let that define you this week, this month, this year. We belong to God. And if I belong to God, to know that means that there's going to be some wonderful and marvelous fruit that comes out of that. Because if I belong to him, I live to him, and I live for him. And it answers the question, where do I belong? I belong to him. I belong in the family of God. I belong in the kingdom of God. I belong in the church of the living God. We belong to him. Notice the next verse. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they're not going to overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you'll not be scorched, nor will the flame burn you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I've given Egypt as your ransom, Cush and Seba in your place. And since you're precious in my sight, since you're honored and I love you, I will give other men in your place and other peoples in exchange for your life. Do not fear, for I'm with you. I am with you. Here's the second thought from verse 2. Obstacles are nothing to God. Obstacles are nothing to God. Obstacle to what? Well, we're on a journey, and we're on that journey together, and that journey is to become like Christ. That's the journey to become conformed into the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. Our journey is to be mature in Christ. Our journey and our goal in this life is to look like Him in every area of our lives, to respond like He responds. That's the journey. That's the journey. It all looks alike to every one of us. That's where we're headed. And yet, when we come to know who we are, and that we belong to Him, and we know that there's no obstacle that's too tough for Him, I'll tell you this, the enemy will come in like a flood to rob you of these very things. And so obstacles come your way. And I'm not saying that just every obstacle is enemy, but I want to tell you, as God wants to use every obstacle, so does the enemy. But I don't know about you, but I know that when I'm moving toward a certain goal and I'm moving towards something, the enemy comes in like a flood. But let me tell you, obstacles are nothing to God. Temptation is nothing to God. Whatever the obstacle, whatever the trial that is coming your way, whatever the temptation, this is nothing to our great God. You need to hear that you belong to God and that obstacles are nothing to Him. You may be going through a really rough time today, a really struggle, a hard time. And the hard time may last a little longer. But it's not too hard for God. It's not too hard. And the promise is that, listen, you will go through the waters and you will go through the fire. But listen, they will not overflow you. You will not be scorched. You will come out of this. You will come out of this strong. I find it very interesting that when you look at water and you look at fire, water refreshes and water purifies and water gives life. And when I look at fire, fire will get the dross out. Matter of fact, think about a couple of verses of Scripture with me. Again, your finger in Isaiah and let's go to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. One of the great things about the apostles was that they looked at suffering and they looked at trial in a whole lot different way than we like to look at it. Paul, to the Romans, in verse 1 will say, hey, I've got peace. We've been justified by faith. We have peace. And we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 2, through whom we also have obtained our introduction by faith into this grace in which we stand. And we exult in hope of the glory of God. And not only this, but we exult in our tribulations, obstacles, trials. We rejoice in them, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance. And perseverance, proven character. And proven character, hope, and hope, it never disappoints. Because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who's given us. What does he say? We rejoice in tribulations. Why? Because when we come out, we have this hope, and we see the love of God, the hope that doesn't disappoint, and we see the love of God being poured out within our hearts. Is that not what we desire? To love our great God? To love our neighbor? And that tribulation and trial can bring you to these places where you examine your heart and you see where you lack and you trust God and you believe God and you rejoice in God. And then as you rejoice in Him, He works and He moves. And you come out on the other side saying, thank you, Lord. Saw it a couple of weeks ago when we looked at Joseph and he looked at his brothers and he said, you didn't send me here, God did. Yeah, it was a tribulation. Prison was a problem. Slavery was a problem. But God did this. God was a part of this. God brought me through this tribulation. What the enemy means for evil, God makes for good. No obstacle is too hard for God. Matter of fact, James said it in James chapter 1 that we were to rejoice when we encountered various trials, knowing that the trying of our faith produces endurance. You got to practice that endurance. And you've got to embrace that trial to know that God is doing something great. Listen, obstacles are nothing to Him. Nothing. If you belong to Him, if you belong to Him and you are in Christ today, these obstacles will bring you closer to Him, closer to your spouse, closer to your family, closer to your church, closer to Him, becoming like Him. What obstacle do you face today? It's not too hard for God. What trial, what tribulation, it's nothing to Him. It's nothing. You know, I look at this passage and this kind of answers the question that I have. Why this trial? Why this season? Why this heartache? And I can look with God and I can claim with God and I can agree with God. Listen, that You're working all these things out for the good. And sometimes, folks, that's hard to see and it's hard to embrace, but I sure am glad it's in Scripture. Because that's what I want to push toward. Go back to Isaiah. Look at the third thing. Verse 3. Just one verse. Half a verse. I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel. I am your Savior. You belong to Me. Nothing's too difficult for Me. No trial is too hard. No tribulation. And guess what? I'm your Savior. I'm here to save you out of the water. I'm here to save you out of the trouble. I'm here to save you out of this pit. I'm here to save you out of the circumstance. I'm here to pull you out and put you on the rock. I'm your Savior. Nothing else, your Savior. Money can't fix it. Money can't save it. It can't. Nice things can't save you. The next portion of your career or your retirement fund cannot save you. Those are all on shifting sand. But my Bible says that it's my God, my Lord. He is my Savior. He is my deliverer. He's the one who delivers. He delivers out of mess. He delivers out of hardship. He delivers us. God, I can see that I belong to You, and there's nothing too difficult for You. No obstacle is too hard for You, and You're my Savior. You're my deliverer. How many of us have gone through hard times and in the middle of it knew this and understood this and found solace and found power and found strength and found life in it? Because He saves. Our God saves. And God wants to show Himself strong in your life. You see, I think this answers a question that sometimes I have, that He's my Savior. The question is, who's going to save me from this? Who's going to deliver me from this? Who's going to get us out of this? It's our God. It is our God working His work. And sometimes, yeah, He'll work through us. He'll work through others. He'll work through people. What does God want me to know? That you are His. That the obstacles are nothing to Him. That He is Lord. He is the Lord, your God, Savior. Your Savior. Look at the fourth thing in this passage. Fourth, verse 4. You are precious, honored, and loved. Since you are precious in My sight, since you are honored and I love you, I will give other men in your place and other peoples in exchange for your life. I'll tell you this. If you're in Christ, you are precious to Him. And I don't care who said what anybody said about you when you were 5 years old, 10 years old, 16 years old. You are precious to our great God. You are the jewel. You are the treasure in the field that He purchased so that He might purchase you and have you so that He might be able to say, you are Mine. You are the pearl of great price. He's the merchant that sees you, precious, honored, loved by our great God. Do you think if we belong to this great God, that we belong to a God who wants to smash us, mess with us, make our life miserable? No, no. Precious, honored, and loved. Jeremiah 31:3 says, I've loved you with an everlasting love. That means it lasts forever. He loves you. And I know that sometimes we go through circumstances and we go through trials and we ask the question, God, where are you? And why, God, have you done this? Or why have you allowed this? If you're such a great God, why are you doing these things? Do you love me? No obstacle's too hard for him. Not too difficult. Listen, I need to hear this today. I need to hear what God thinks about me. You need to hear what God thinks about you. You know, John 17:24, it says that Jesus is praying, and when he's praying, he says, Lord, where I desire that they also whom you have given me be with me where I am, that they might see my glory, which you have given me, for you have loved me before the foundation of the world. Lord, I want them with me. I want them with me. You are his. Obstacles are nothing to him. He is the Lord, your God, your Savior. You are precious, you are honored, and you are loved. And it answers the question, does anyone care? Who can I trust? Am I loved? Verse 5 of Isaiah 43 says, do not fear, I am with you. I will bring your offspring from the east and gather you from the west. And I'll say to the north, give them up. And to the south, do not hold them back. I'll bring my sons from afar, my daughters from the ends of the earth. And everyone who is called by my name and whom I have created for my glory, whom I have formed, even whom I have made. I am the Lord, your Holy One, the Creator of Israel, your King, who makes a way through the sea and a path through the mighty waters. Would you bow with me in prayer? What question are you asking today? Where do I belong? Who do I belong to? Why this trial? Who's going to save me from this? Who's going to set us free from this body of death? You're precious, honored, and loved. It answers the question. Does anyone care? Because I tell you this today. If God cares, God has God's people who also care. Now, they're not perfect like God. But wherever God is, there are his people. Does anybody really care? Does anybody really care? God cares. You are precious, you are honored, and you are loved. Father God, I thank you for your grace and your mercy and your blessing today. And I ask, God, that we might walk in Isaiah 43 for a bit. These are things we need to know, that we need to understand Scripture. And God, I just ask in Jesus' name that, Lord, that questions would be answered for us today. And we'd believe we're yours. There's nothing too difficult for you. That you are my Savior. That you see me as precious, honored, and loved. God, I pray that I take these four things. And that, God, that I'd be used somehow for your glory. To not only receive this, but to give it away.
Cottonwood is located 3 miles east of Dublin on Highway 6. For more information on the ministries of Cottonwood, please call us at 254-445-2929, or you can visit us on the web at www.cottonwoodtx.com.
living on.